Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians 2, 17 through 22, and can be found on your pew Bible on pages 893. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with which Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Sam. So as I thought about what God would lay on my heart this morning, as we think about this series in this season of Lent, it made me think about this important question. Why is the church Why do we need the church, especially in the present day and age that we live in? Why do we need the church? Imagine if Union United Methodist Church ceased to exist. Would it make a difference? If churches all over the world ceased to exist, would it make a difference in the lives of the average person? I think that there are many who would argue that it wouldn't. Statistics I have read say that anywhere between 20 and 40% of Americans worship on a Sunday morning. Most pollsters believe that that number is actually on the lower end of the spectrum than the higher. Unfortunately, the number who attend church on a Sunday morning continues to diminish on a regular basis. And it's the irony of that statement is not lost on me in the season that we're in, and we're going to think about that more. But why don't people think that church is an important part of their lives anymore? I think that there are a lot of different reasons for that. There are things that get in the way. Sports and trips and sleeping in and busy work schedules, hectic lives, you name it. And there are still others who have been burned by the church. We are an imperfect people, and we don't always reflect the Christ that we say that we serve, that we get involved in the politics and the arguments and the tough parts that can sometimes come with life in the church, and people say that they've had enough. And I can certainly understand that and sympathize. Church attendance can also become a habit in our lives, something that we are meant to do and called to do, but sometimes people just slip away for lots of different reasons. And unfortunately, they go out the back door without any of us even noticing, and that's a tragedy. There are lots of barriers that get in the way of people being a part of the life of the church, more than I can mention in one sermon, that's for sure. So I want us to think about this question. Why, especially in the day and age and time that we live in, why does the church matter? And I think on a very practical side, people have no idea how much good the church does all over the world. If every church all over the world ceased its operations tomorrow, I think the economic and social impact would be significant. Governments and nonprofit organizations would in no way be able to pick up all the slack that comes from the help that people receive from the church. There are multitudes of families that come here even to Union on a regular basis for our food pantry. There's no other food distribution center of any significance that exists except for ours right here in Bridgeville. And it's all run by volunteers, people who give of their time so that others might be able to feed their family and those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And so churches all over the world provide assistance for food and clothing and shelter and so much more. They help during natural disasters, and they help support schools, provide educational and childcare services, community events, you name it. And I think we as a country take the church for granted. Think about those who live in countries where worshiping the Lord and being the church is not allowed. There are people whose faith is so important to them that they're willing to go in underground churches and places of worship, where if they're caught worshiping, they'd be thrown in prison or even killed. It goes to show how important the church is to the world. That people are willing to risk imprisonment and death just so they can worship the Lord with other believers. That's how important it is. We need to examine ourselves and appreciate the freedom that we have to worship the Lord without reprisal and to thank God for this gift. The church and being the church matters to the world. But don't misunderstand me that the church doesn't just exist to do good in the world. That's actually an outpouring of who we are as Christians. That's just what we are meant to do. But the main reason the church exists is that because we are called here to this place to worship the Lord. And it is through worship that it draws us together as a body of believers to celebrate the Lord, to give thanks for everything that He has done, and to remember that we are called to give of ourselves to bless the world and to bring the kingdom of God right here on earth like we sung about this morning. So I want us now to think about our scripture lesson this morning. The scripture lesson is about the church drawing people together. And so this scripture passage that we read this morning actually makes us reflect upon the separation that existed between Gentiles and Jews. And so the Gentiles were seen as second-class citizens. They didn't follow all the purity laws that the Jewish Christians did. They were unfamiliar with the stories of the Old Testament. They were not a part of God's chosen people. But Paul writes to them to remind them that Jesus Christ coming into the world binds us all together. Verses 17 and 18 say, "He came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to you who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." You see, Jesus proclaimed the gospel for all of us. It was not just a chosen few, but for everyone. His sacrifice was for the entire world. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." He didn't say one particular people group, but God so loved the world. And he died on a cross, and he saved us all from the power of sin. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people. During Pentecost, when people gathered to receive the Spirit, no one was exempt from it. It was a gift of salvation, and the gift of the Spirit was provided for us all. And the Spirit binds us together. It says in verses 19 and 20, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as himself as the chief cornerstone." And so the language that Paul uses here is important, that we are called to be citizens of the household of God. It tells us in Romans that And so we are citizens of the household of God. And so if you were a citizen, let's say, of Rome, that means that you would have all the rights and privileges of being a citizen, that you're entitled to certain benefits as a result of that. And so we as a church are entitled to certain benefits as followers of Jesus, that we will receive a home in heaven because of our citizenship, that we are heirs of the promises of God given to us by Jesus Christ. We are all part of God's family together. And there's something special about being the family of God, being able to pray together, to support each other in good times and bad, to connect with each other as much as possible. Families are meant to worship together, to sing songs of gladness and songs of joy, to hear the wisdom of Scripture, to hear a fresh word proclaimed that will touch hearts and impact lives, to give of our time and resources to make the world a better place and to build the kingdom of God. All of those things are things that we are meant to do when the church is at its best. Being a citizen of the family of God means that we are called to come together and worship the Lord. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And by his wisdom and teaching and sacrifice he made for us all, we are bound together as the family of God. The last two verses of this passage say this: "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And so the church is not about the building. I think when people hear the word church, that's what they think about. They think about this building and this edifice. Don't misunderstand me. The building is important. This is an important and vital tool for ministry, and we need to be good stewards of it. And I appreciate the work that our trustees do to keep up this building and make it the nice place for worship that it is. But if, God forbid, the building burnt down tomorrow, Union United Methodist Church would still exist because we are the church. The hymn, "We Are the Church," in the first stanza says, "The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. It's all of us together." Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says, "Again, truly I tell you, for if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." When we worship God, God is here. When we are praying for one another, celebrating our joys and lifting up one another in our times of distress and grief, God is here. God makes that promise in His Word. God both dwells in our worship and dwells in each and every one of our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God binds us together. We are the body of Christ, and we need one another. We are critical to each other's faith journeys, to support each other in good times and bad. We are called to be church. And so, people ask me from time to time, do I need to go to church in order to be saved? And it makes me think about this silly meme that's from Mama's family, so take a look at this. I don't know if this was a quote from the show or not, but I think this is pretty funny. It says, "Now, Mama, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, you don't have to wear a parachute to jump out of an airplane either, but it certainly helps." Think of that as kind of funny, huh? And so, I want us to think, we'll think about that for a minute. The short answer is no. You don't have to go to church to be saved. The only thing that we have to do to be saved is to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We're saved by faith alone. There's no amount of good works, and there's no magic number about how often you have to go to church in order to be saved. But what this meme alludes to is that you're missing something vital to your faith journey if you don't. You can jump out of a plane without a parachute, but I wouldn't recommend it, would you? Let me offer you one more analogy about what it means to be the church. You know, I can belong to a gym. I can give $30 a month, deducted out of my checking account, and say that I'm a member of Gold's Gym, let's say. But I can be a member of that gym and never set foot in it for months or years on end as they continue to receive my money. But what benefit am I receiving? You don't get fit by just paying that monthly fee, do you? You have to go. You have to use the equipment. You have to go to the class. You have to work out. The same is true for our faith journey. We can be saved and we can belong, but if there's not any exercising of our faith, if there's no worshiping God or going out into the world to shine the light of Jesus, then what's the point? You see, church is as much a verb as it is a noun. Being together as believers is an important part of who we are. Worshiping together, studying the Word together, praying for one another, giving of our time and resources, and serving the world and sharing our faith with others is our very identity. You can easily belong to something but yet never participate. But God calls us to more. It's part of who we are. Being together as a community of worship binds us together. Sometimes church can be messy. We don't always agree. There's drama sometimes. But the truth of the matter is that that's true of any community, no matter what it is. It's the price of being community. But yet we are called to be the church, as imperfect and flawed people as we are. And if we're not, we're missing a huge and integral part of our journey of being Christians together. And so I lament today that the season that we are in, I lament that we are in a season where there's a great deal of hysteria, there's a great deal of fear where it concerns this coronavirus. And there is something to be afraid of. There is something about this that is scary and difficult, but yet at the same time, we need to be calm. We need to be a people who are prudent, people who use common sense, people who need to be there for one another and still shine the light of Christ. You see, you need to understand that being the church isn't just about being in this building. Being the church also means, what do we do when we leave these doors, right? Because we're only here for an hour once a week, so it matters a great deal what we are like the rest of the week, doesn't it? So being the church means that we are called to be a witness. That we are called to be a people who are prepared, but yet not a people of fear. That we are called to be a people who are witnesses of love, of kindness, of hope, of peace. We need to be that witness, most especially in the season that we are in as a people right now. So let us be a witness together. Let us be a witness of what God has called us to be. People of love, people of kindness, people of hope, people who trust in God in good times and bad. We are the church together, whether we're all in this building or whether we're out in the world. No matter what, we are called to be the church together 24/7. We never stop being the family of God, do we? So God, draw us together, bind us together. Being the church is our identity and our lifeblood. We would never be the same without it. Let us bow our heads as we go to God in prayer. Holy God, you have knit us together. You have bound us together to be your people. We are your church. God, as flawed and imperfect as we are your church. In this season of uncertainty, in this season of fear, God, let us not be filled with panic, but God, let us be prepared. Let us be prepared for uncertainty. God, help us to be a source of love. Help us to be a source of support. Help us, God, to be a source of peace to the world around us. God, help us to reflect your love to the world. And so, God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful in our worship of you, in singing your praises, of studying your word, and most especially in the season that we're in, help us to be a people of prayer, praying for healing, healing for our community, healing for our nation, healing for our world. And so, God, we call out to you. Help us to be the family of God. Help us to be faithful to all the promises and everything that you've given us. And let us turn our worship this morning as praise and a holy offering unto you. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray together. Amen.